Jesus didn't have a problem with people that's in the streets. He had a problem with religious people.
How can I help anybody when I'm not even, when I was not even able to help my own son?
I would never do that. I would never do that. And I became that in a matter of minutes when they took my pain pills away.
And I said, I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be.
Ugh. This is Faith in Your Recovery. I am Randy Davis. Welcome to the battle. Thanks again for joining us here on our episodes we've titled Jailhouse Recovery. This is number 6 today, and I think we've got about that many more to go. We're going to get done what we can get done. It's a privilege to be here in the Jay County Jail, Sheriff Newton, and, you know, the staff, they've been super cooperative with us. We appreciate that. And we always like to remind you that this is probably only the second time that a podcast has ever been done from county jail in the United States of America. And just months ago, we did the first one. Today's been a great success. We've had numerous followers. We hope you've contacted friends, family members to get them to join with us. We've got a lot of good information to share. I believe it's questions that many of you would ask if you had this opportunity, or perhaps some of you'd be scared to ask them because you're just not comfortable in a setting or a place like this. But I've become quite comfortable with a lot of respect. I appreciate each individual who's willing to share with us today. It's a good thing. Our guest for this episode, he and I go back a ways through the school system. Stephen, welcome on board.
Randy, how you doing?
Doing good. Good to have you here. Hey, I know some of your story, but I want to know more, and I want you to share that with our listeners. Go ahead and tell them where it all began for Stephen, how it all began early in life. Go back there and kind of, you know, bring us up almost through your elementary years, your high school years, your early adult years, however you want to label it, do that. But go ahead and start sharing with us.
Well, I started smoking pot when I was in high school for a couple of years. When I was 16, I was introduced to meth. So I did meth for the first time. And then it kind of moved on from there to opiates, pain pills, all that. And stayed that way till my early 20s. And then I started using heroin. And somewhere in the mix between all that, I started using a syringe. And I stayed on heroin for about 2 years, hard. Overdosed, I don't know how many times. I shouldn't even be here right now. Up until almost 5 years ago, I quit using heroin. I haven't used heroin since, but I have had a problem with using meth, and I'm trying to get past that now.
How old are you, Stephen?
37.
Okay. So overall, how many years would you say you've been in the struggle?
20 years.
20 years. That's a major part of your life there, over half when we do the math, yeah? So what was it that got you started, do you believe, when you look back? Was it just availability, peer pressure?
Trying to be cool, thinking it was cool.
Yeah. What do you think now?
Stupid. It's just nothing else. No other way to describe it as being. It's wasted a lot of years of my life being in jail. I mean, I've been in and out of jail for the past 15 years.
What's been the lowest point in all of that?
Homeless, being homeless with nobody. My mom passed, and I kind of just started spiraling out from there. And then I lost my kids, and then I just been on the downhill from there till now.
Okay, what are your plans to better yourself, and how?
Well, I think I want to go to a rehab facility somewhere when I get out of here.
Okay, I'm going to hold you to that because we can help you make that happen, buddy. Through a better life, Brianna's hope, you get out of here. How long do you have here?
February 3rd.
February 3rd. So what is that? February, January 3rd. Almost less than 4 months.
Less than 3 months.
Less than three. Mm-hmm. Okay, not that you're counting, right?
Yeah, now, only 80-something days.
Yeah, all right. What is rehab, the next step out of here?
I mean, for me right now, it's got to be because I've never tried it. And as of right now, I need to acquire tools that I need to be able to stay sober and recover. Not only for me, for my kids, for my family.
Yeah, yeah. It starts with you, and then they get all the benefits of it, all right? You know, there's nothing wrong with wanting it for your kids. Nothing at all, but I believe you've got to want it for yourself, number one.
Absolutely.
And as you accomplish that, then, as I said, they get those benefits and the joys of it. They get the new dad, the dad they deserve, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm sure all of that's run through your head before. What makes you think you can do it? You've been in this long time. What makes you think?
Well, I've been in a long time. That's all the more encouragement and reason to not do it. I mean, I'm not getting any younger. I mean, I'm tired of coming to jail. I'm tired of being in this place. I'm tired of wasting my freedom. There's so many other better things I could be doing out there with my time.
Yeah. What's your goal? Obviously, being clean, being sober, et cetera. But what's a career goal that you have?
Mechanic.
Mechanic. I just interviewed a guy earlier who wants to start an exotic car sales kind of thing. Maybe you could get a job there, all right?
Right.
Yeah, and we don't know how that can happen. Let's wait and see. Why are you willing to be interviewed today, Stephen? What is it about this that piqued your interest that caused you to sign up and say, yeah, I'll give that a shot?
I mean, it's a start for me to get this weight off my shoulders of this problem that I have. To me, that's the first step into the recovery process is to get it out there, to admit that I do have a problem before I can move on.
You know, I've always believed that to voice something, it's got to go through our head, it's got to come out our lips, then we hear it with our own ears, and we can judge ourselves on the truth and the validity of what we just said. But it's just gone through a three-step process there that almost helps us stamp it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a commitment that we're making you're not making any commitments to me, but you are to yourself with your own words there. Do you believe your addiction, and you referred to this earlier, but do you think it's a generational thing, more by choice or a result of relationships and peer pressure?
I mean, at the end of the day, it's always a choice. It's your choice to do what you're going to do. Nobody can make you do nothing. I mean, so, yeah, I believe it is a sickness, but at the end of the day, it's a choice.
I have always believed it's a disease, but it's a disease set off by a choice. Mm-hmm. So you and I are on the same page there in that respect, okay? Have you ever felt like you've had a true cheerleader in your corner? You know, a friend, a family member, if so, who?
My mom was always there, but I lost her. And the other person that I had in my corner, I messed it up.
You chased them away.
Right.
By your choices and actions.
Choosing to use drugs.
Yeah. Okay. When did you realize in all of this, and this is going back to some of the things you said earlier, you were in over your head. that it had a hold of you and a grip on you that you at that you didn't know how to beat it at that moment?
No, I didn't. I mean, when you're out there doing it, in the middle of doing it, you never think you need to go to rehab to get off of it. At any time, you tell yourself that you can quit, and at any point, I can stop this if I want, but you're just lying to yourself.
That was one of my next questions. What's the biggest lie you've told yourself? And obviously, that was one of them. That
absolutely.
I'm in charge. No, you relinquish charge to that drug once you step over that line, which can be at the first use, or it's certainly going to be shortly thereafter, if not. What was the lights on that said, Stephen, you can better yourself. You can do better than this. You can become the you that you want to be and God wants you to be. How did that play out?
Well, I guess it really started on this bit here. Having to be away from my kids, it was the hardest thing, you know. And I have to say the MRT here in the jail has been an extremely big help with that. Not only have I been able to help myself, but able to help others and to finding that light.
What is it that you think is the next big step for you to overcome before you can go full steam ahead toward recovery? Obviously, getting out of here. But along with that, what is going to be that step that's going to propel you forward?
Well, it's just going to have to be to place myself in a better environment, better situation. Obviously, go to rehab, not only for drug use, but there's other avenues I need to explore. I mean, mental, emotional, anger, all that stuff. But to get out and find myself is definitely the first step I think I need to do to secure my recovery.
I think you're going to rehab of some type, whatever that may look like, possibly sober living. I don't know how it's going to play out, but I totally agree. That's where your next steps lie, because you said it earlier yourself, you've got to get those tools that are needed to keep you sober. I said it in one of the earlier interviews today. I've said it in many of our classes here. I'll say it again, the idea, and this has always been an illustration to me that you can't miss. A 20-foot stepladder has 18 steps to get to the top. It has one step to get to the bottom. And we fall much faster when we climb. It can be more painful, that fall. But we can grasp a hold, pull ourselves up. It's much more than pulling yourself up by the bootstraps. You got to pull yourself up by your own experiences, your own willingness, your own desire. And we hope you can get that accomplished. What do you see yourself? How do you see yourself 20 years from now, 10 years from now? Where do you see Stephen in life?
20 years from now, I just hope I'm alive. 10 years from now, I see myself with my family, working, making an honest living, doing everything for all the right reasons. I mean, that's the only thing I can hope for right now.
Well, that's big hopes right there. What is it that provides you hope in general, not just for accomplishing that, but in general?
Well, my best hope would be my kids are my strength. So, I mean, the only hope I could have is to ensure that I never leave them again. I mean, My hope is to stay out of jail.
Where do you see your faith playing a role in all this, Stephen?
Well, I really don't know. I don't know if it's my faith would lie in God or myself or whatever it may be. I don't know, but I just know I got to keep faith. Without faith, you lose everything.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to just throw this in. I don't try to get preachy during these things. I never have. But that faith's got to be in God before we can have the true faith in ourselves. So that's just an invite from my experience after hearing yours here. What is it that Stephen would want to say to someone who's raising their own Stephen? Someone who's fought the battles you've fought. Now, I know you're beyond that being raised stage. I get that. But think back to those years. What would you like to tell mom and dad who are dealing with somebody who was much like you?
Whip their butt more. Keep a closer eye on them. There is such a thing called tough love, and sometimes that's what you got to have in order for things to be for the better.
That's not the easy way to do it, but the idea of tough love's a necessary way to do it. Now, there's an abuse, but that's not what we're talking about, folks, when we talk about tough love. We talk about being able to say no. It's okay to say, we can't afford that. It's okay to say, you don't need that. There are ways, and it's not what your 8, 12, 16, 20-year-old want to hear sometimes, but it's the best thing they can hear. And, yeah, so what would you want to tell that child of theirs, their own Stephen? What would you advise them?
Stay in school. Education is a first and foremost thing. Don't be hard-headed. Take advice when it's given to you, and you don't have to learn the hard way.
I like that idea of taking advice when it's given to you. None of us are as good at that as what we could be, but that's the necessary point from the other side of the table. It's okay to find out you're wrong. It doesn't mean you're a bad person because you made a mistake, but it's how you deal with that mistake that determines, if you're going to live that pleasing life or that life that's a problem to you and everybody around you. We're back to the idea of choices. I've heard that a lot from you during this interview. So before we get ready to wrap up here, Stephen, is there anything else that you want to say, advise, or share?
Never give up. Hold close to you the ones that you love and who love you, and because they're not going to be there forever.
Man, there's a lot of truth to that, folks, and we know you've had your share of losses. You've gone through your own battles, but understand, fighting through them is more than worth it. Thank you for tuning in and turning on to this episode of Faith in Your Recovery as we're here in the Jay County Security Center doing our second set of episodes of Jailhouse Recovery. Thank you. Appreciate you. Get a hold of a friend. We've got some more live episodes to go here. God bless. Take care. And above all, stay in the battle.
Thank you, Randy.
You bet.